Man, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 19. Book of Psalms, Psalm 19. When we first moved to New Zealand, there was a lot of things to get used to that are just different than America. Such as driving on the right-hand side of the road. The left-hand side of the road. Sorry. I had to learn that coming back to America. I know where I'm at right now. Driving on the left-hand side of the road, on the right side of the car, right? So even now, we're walking, like when we go out to the parking lot today, I'm going to walk up, and I'm going to have a conversation with myself. What side of the car do I go on? Things are smaller there. So coming back to America, it feels like everything's bigger. It's like, wow, all those big stuff. And things like going to the store in New Zealand, you can get just about everything you get here, but there's a lot less variety. So where, maybe you can only get two kinds of things in New Zealand, in America, it's like two whole aisles worth of different stuff. It's like, wow, all this stuff. In New Zealand, a large pop you would get is about that size, which is almost something, a small drink you would get. And we got used to that. It was probably healthier anyway. But we've been in America for a month, and did you know they give free refills, right? You ever get a large? Oh, my goodness, it's like, amen. Yes, please, I'll have a refill. So I understand how lots of missionaries gain weight on furlough. pray for us. Amen. No, but we're excited. We're happy to be here. Thankful for this church, for Pastor Ken Lance, and for his support. Thank you for Pastor Madonna. And it's good to see Pastor Stephen again as well. And it's just a blessing to see God's work still going on. It's good. It's good. Amen. Psalm 19. One of the things about New Zealand is their mailboxes. Now, not every mailbox is this way, but a lot of the mailboxes we come across are, they look kind of, more fancy-ish on the outside, and they got the slot you put your mail in. But on the back, a lot of mailboxes, it's open. Right, so you put your mail in, and then you just hope it doesn't rain really hard. But we get lots of rain and lots of wind, right? And so we get lots of wind that goes through. And so if you're missing your mail, you need to look in the neighbor's yard. You might find it. and of course, the topography of New Zealand is mountainous everywhere. Everywhere you go, just there's lots of mountains around. Of course, sheep like to go on the mountains, and it struck me as odd coming back to America and looking out the airplane once you get over past out west, but once you get closer to Michigan, like everything's flat. So it's just for miles, just flat everything. But in New Zealand, it's just like the opposite. It's like mountains everywhere, and a lot of the houses are unique. Builds and so you go on, you're passing out tracks and going up to people's houses. It's up and down and down alleyways and finding houses in corners and stuff, and just lots of different things of that nature. Psalm 19. Let's just read through the first six verses here. Psalm 19, we'll read verses 1-6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the reading of your word. I pray you open up our hearts to the reading of your word and the leading of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I have three main points here in Psalm 19, if I were to break it down into three sections. The first section we see in verses 1 through 6, we see God revealed in nature. God revealed in nature. And we see nature declaring God, right? It says the heavens declare the glory of God. It speaks of it. It's by its very existence, it's pointing to an eternal God. It says the firmament showeth his handiwork. When you look out at night or you look out into the sky, you see the firmament. It's where God has placed the sun, is where God has placed the moon and the stars. We see the open firmament of heaven. In our solar system, we have our sun. We have the one star, our sun. And then we have the eight planets. I think Pluto still got kicked out, right? When I was in school, it was 9. Then it was 8. Did it get back in? I don't know. Sorry. But we have these planets in our solar system, right? And things that we have been able to see with telescopes. Right, our solar system with the sun and with the planets and Pluto is part of a larger spiral galaxy called the Milky Way. Right, in New Zealand at night, where we are and where we're at, we're closer to the city. But even in our city, you can see the Milky Way. You can see the stars there. In fact, there's a city on the South Island of New Zealand, and I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But it's known for being able to see the most stars anywhere in the world, where they even take the street lamps and have them facing down at night. And you can look up and just see the stars, see the millions of stars out there. It's estimated that our Milky Way galaxy is 100,000 light years across. The 1 light year is the distance light travels in a year. The amount that of distance that is almost unfathomable. The Hubble Space Telescope, and many of you have probably seen this. It's called the Hubble Deep View of the Universe, right? And what they did is they focused the Hubble Space Telescope on one section of the sky, just one little section of the sky where they didn't see anything, and they held it there for a matter of days and took these pictures. And what it revealed was in a area of the sky where the human eye sees nothing. It revealed galaxies and galaxies and galaxies, all containing planets, all containing stars, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of them. Man has never seen the existence of the vastness of this firmament that God has created. And that was just one tiny glimpse of one little pinhole in the sky revealed that. That means it's all around. It's all around us. Just this past month, in the last couple months, NASA has launched a new telescope into the sky. It's called the James Webb Telescope. Now, where the Hubble's mirror was about 2.4 meters in size, this new telescope, its primary mirror is 6.5 meters across. And it's where the Hubble has been positioned in Earth's low orbit, going around the Earth. The James Webb Telescope has been placed 1.5 million kilometers from Earth. In the coming months, we will begin seeing images. Get this. We'll be seeing images that no human eye has ever seen will be coming from this telescope. And all of it that it sees, all the galaxies, all the stars, everything in the firmament of heaven will point to the awesome handiwork of God. When David declared, he said, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Right? We're going to be experiencing some things that David never saw. And it's going to prove David's point. The firmament showeth his handiwork. It's the handiwork of God. It's all there. In Genesis chapter 1, in the creation week, in verse 14, the Bible says this: "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. You see, all those stars, all those planets, all those galaxies are for us. He put it there for us. It's there for us. Earth may not be the physical center of the universe. However, science has no way to confirm that because we don't know the boundaries. But it is certainly the center of the universe theologically. God's focus has been here on us. All this for us. All the stars, all the planets here to benefit us. And God put it there. David goes on to say, he says, "Day unto day utter the speech, night unto night showeth knowledge." You could talk to any culture, anybody around the world, and you can look up and point to the stars. So God did that. Put that there. With the clockwork precision that the universe operates in can only be pointed to a creator. Everyone is aware of the way the world is. It's not hidden. It's not a mystery. It's there. It's there for all to see. Many astronauts, after visiting outer space, going to the moon, there's a thing called the overview effect. The overview effect. And what this is when an astronaut, many astronauts, not all of them, but many who go into space experience this, is this profound experience where they see the Earth from afar. And some have described when they're on the other side of the moon and they can look out and you can see the vastness of the stars that pictures don't do it justice. And they become overwhelmed with the thought of how small we are. On Christmas Eve 1968, astronauts Bill Anders, Jim Lovell, and Frank Borman, it's no wonder they would read Genesis chapter 1 as they orbited the moon. They're out there. They're seeing the stars. They're seeing this handiwork. They say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Man, that stuff, I love that stuff. These all speak to the existence and the majesty of an all-powerful, all-loving God who loves us. God is revealed in nature. Number 2, in verses 7 through 11, we see God revealed in His Word. God revealed in His Word. And we see the Bible's declaration of God. Look at verse number 7. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Verse number 10, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." We see David declaring that the God's law is perfect, and we apply it, we can apply that to the whole revelation that God has given to us in His Word. It is perfect. God's Word is perfect. It leads to the conversion of the soul. Paul would say in Romans chapter 10, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." See, why are you a missionary? Why do you believe in missions? Why do we believe in sharing the gospel? Because it is the Bible, it is the Word of God that brings conversion. We're not bringing a philosophical change. We're not looking to change people's physical state. Those are good things to do. We ought to help the poor and do those things. But our mission is to convert the soul, and that happens through the Word of God. We must bring to them the Word of God. We must preach the Word. David describes it. He says, God's testimonies are sure. He says it makes wise the simple. Thank God for that. You see, remember, Eve sought wisdom through a tree. But hey, we got the Word of God. This is the fruit that we need. Amen. Verse number 8, he says, God's statutes are right. It brings rejoicing to man's heart. God's statutes, God's laws, God's commandments, it gives structure, gives man the path to how to please God. I'm thankful that God has given us His Word. He doesn't leave us without that knowledge. Pastor Stephen brought that up in the Sunday school hour. Man has not always had God's completed revelation. We are very blessed in this church age to have the completed word of God. See, Christianity is not some mystical, magical, feelings-based religion. I mean, there are times where we can have some feelings and we can shout and we can cry. We can do all those things. And that's good. But that's not what it's based on. God has given us the information we need. It's all written down for us. He's given us the instructions. You say, well, why didn't God tell us? He did. He did. What are you facing in your life? God gave you the instructions to help you through that. David says, the fear of the Lord is clean. It endures forever. God's judgments are true and righteous. Look at verse 10. He says, these are to be desired. He's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about God's laws. He's talking about God's judgment. He's talking about what the Word of God declares is to be desired more than monetary gain. I mean, if we can grab a hold of that, right? Because we love our stuff, right? Let me tell you, as a missionary, when we first moved to New Zealand, we had to really go through our stuff. Oh, we had to make choices. Oh, I can't bring this. Oh, I get it right. And then we ended up storing a lot at my Joy's mom and dad's house. And now I got to go through that on furlough and figure out, why did I keep all this stuff, right? And then when we left New Zealand to come to America, we had to put all our stuff in storage, just moving stuff. Boy, if we could love God's Word like we love our stuff, more to be desired are they than gold. The truths of God's Word. It's through God's Word we're warned of sin and judgment. It's through God's Word we learn of God's mercy, His grace, His love, His salvation. God revealed through His Word. Number one, we see God revealed in nature, in nature's declaration. Number two, we see God revealed in His Word, in the Word's declaration of God. And number three, verses 12 through 14, I see God revealed in man. Look at verse 12. It says, who could understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Verse number 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Here we have the revelation of God through the Bible. And this revelation will leave man, it will lead you to recognize the errors of your ways and the errors of my ways. And it leads as we spend time in God's Word, it'll lead us to a realization of our need to be cleansed from these faults. The writer of Hebrews would say, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Speaking of this, God's word, it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharp, it discerns. It's the importance of spending time in God's Word. It goes beyond mere knowledge of what is written. It goes beyond the memorization of it. And those are good things, and we ought to do those things. It even goes beyond the appreciating the beauty of the language, and that's a good thing to do as well. But spending time in God's Word, it will change you more than words on paper. As we read and study God's Word, through what we read, we come to realize our errors, our faults, where we're wrong, where we need to change. We become more acutely aware of where we are wrong. And then it gives us the remedy of how to fix that. In Psalm 19, we see the speech of nature reveals the existence and majesty of God in its very existence. The speech of the Bible reveals truths about God and man and how man ought to behave and relate to God. And notice David's final prayer in verse 14. This is David's final prayer, is his heart and his speech, and that his speech will be acceptable in the sight of God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Just as a testimony in verse number 1, we have the testimony of nature declaring the majesty and the glory of God. We have the written word of God for us that declares all things we needed to know of God. And David's heart was, oh God, I see the nature declaring you, and I see the word of God declaring you. Lord, help my speech to be one acceptable to you. Next time you look up at night, and you might have to drive out of Sterling Heights for a while to find some stars, we can look up, see the stars, see the handiwork of God. In Sunday school, we spoke of one of the ministries we were doing in New Zealand around Waitangi Day Festival, and we would set up a booth and pass out tracts and invite people to our church property for an event on our property. So leading up to this, these events, we would go out and pass out tracts and pass out flyers in people's homes. And in New Zealand, we're allowed to put flyers in people's mailboxes. And so we would do that. So we're going up and down, right? Over and under, passing them out. Well, what would happen in one area near a church, we're in the city of Tawa, and we put these flyers in, right? Then what do you know, that wind comes through? Like in New Zealand, if we get 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 mile per hour winds, that's just, you get used to that, right? But they hit those mailboxes with, it's nice in the front, but in the back they're open. And, you know, we go through a block up and down, and you turn around, and all of a sudden you turn around and you see your flyers flying in the air. You're thinking, oh Lord, you're going everywhere. Do you know what God did? God used that wind, declaring the word of God on paper, and blew one of those tracks, flied up in the air, and one of those landed at the feet of a lady. And she picked it up. She said, oh, I'll go visit that church. And she did. She visited our church. And she was a saved lady from Australia. And she brought her daughters with her. And over the last year and a half, both of her daughters had gotten saved. We're praying for her husband. He's a nice guy, but he just does not really interested in church things. All because God used nature to blow God's word in the air. And God used it to lead that lady to our church. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. God can use nature like the wind. God can use you. David's prayer, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. You never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Today would be a good day to do that. Christian, let's declare God to the people around us. Amen.